Growing up in Australia, you speak English every day, but perhaps another language alongside it, something you picked up at home or through family. But later in life, if dementia sets in, that second language might fade. You could find yourself slipping back into the way you first learned to speak as a child, returning to the rhythms and words of your earliest language. Thomas Kutis asked Dr. Fahud Hanna, Associate Professor in Public Health at Torrens University, how language loss due to dementia might affect a migrant's sense of identity and belonging.
Obviously, as you know, that dementia impacts areas of the brain that is responsible for thinking, for memory, or even things like everyday function. So the condition can lead to multiple issues and health issues, including the way you think and the way you talk and the way you remember things. So one of the things that happen is that language that is acquired later on in life, and I mean after your very first language, which was learned during infancy and childhood. So that language is pretty much well protected. But the languages that were learned afterwards and acquired afterwards, such as what happens when you migrate to another country and you adopt a new language to survive, obviously, is actually impacted quite heavily. So what happens is a bit of stripping of that sort of second language, if you like, we're not going to go through details as how it works in the brain, because that's all under research at the moment. But in terms of what happens, that's exactly how people with dementia find themselves going back to their original tongue, first language, and that language loss can impact their lives in many ways, not only how they communicate with doctors and carers and grandchildren and others around them who probably don't speak anything but that second language that they speak. It also really affects how they deal with the world around them. It adds to that burden of forgetfulness
Absolutely.
Thinking and those sort of, problems with everyday function. It just adds to the burden, Thomas, and that's where the problem is. And it affects carers quite a bit and, most importantly, family members.
What unique challenges do culturally and linguistically diverse families face when navigating dementia care systems, which can be very difficult, right?
Well, it's very difficult to navigate anything in terms of health issues for those who are culturally and linguistically diverse due to barriers, cultural barriers, language barriers, ethnic barriers, in some cases religious barriers, and the understanding of health and disease is different from culture to culture. And in Australia, we have so many different cultures. We get this melting pot of so many different cultures, and that's all beautiful, and integration and coming together as one nation is a fantastic concept in today's terms. But when you think about the challenges that also imposes on healthcare system, on families, on carers, access, we talk a lot about access and the equity in that sense. A lot of multicultural or ethnic groups struggle with access, not only because, well, in a place like Australia, obviously in a liberal democracy, everybody has access and everybody is eligible and entitled. But the problem is, due to cultural barriers, access becomes a little bit of a mystery, because understanding and being aware of what the access is and how you can access services and interpreter services and so on and so forth is where the problem is. There's a bit of a wall there that some can, face while trying to navigate healthcare systems and so on.
How does the loss of a second language impact communication between the patients, the caregivers, and even the healthcare professionals?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and it's the core of this issue.
Mm.
I guess carers and you know, healthcare providers and clinicians would speak English in places like Australia. So they prefer communicating in English. However, we do have interpreter services here and there. They can reduce that sort of problem, if you like, and barrier. But the problem with dementia is that the stripping of the second language takes the individuals back to their childhood language, and sometimes to very basic mother tongue, if you like, that is almost impossible for the interpreters themselves to actually understand. And that's when you have a breakdown of communication that is related to what we call diagnosis and assessment and so on and so forth, and also what is really required for this particular individual compared to another individual, which is obviously, as you know, when it comes to healthcare, there needs to be always tailored treatment and tailored management, you know, based on the individual and their needs. So not actually really understanding the language that is now being surfacing in the dementia patient becomes a massive obstacle in trying to properly assess and or, tailor, if you like, or design that management and moving on. And it's a chronic disease, Thomas. So you're going to have to work in co-design with the patient, with their families, and so on. And all of that, I think you can almost sense the challenge there in terms of, you know, the language and the culture.
So I was just going to go back to the part about healthcare providers. Is that where they need to sort of step in and create programs to help people with dementia who are migrants?
Well, of course. The point here is healthcare providers and policymakers, if you like, in this space, in dementia care, will need to be fully aware of what dementia is doing to or culturally and linguistically challenged individuals. So having that in mind and incorporate that in the design of intervention, using it properly trained interpreters who can actually provide good feedback to healthcare providers to then work on interventions and treatments, but also, more importantly, on policies and guidelines.
Dr. Fahad Hanna, Associate Professor in Public Health at Torrens University, speaking there with Thomas Kutas.